Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Southern states now represent 50% of new HIV infections in the United States, with nearly one in four people with the virus not receiving any care. Health advocates say the figure should underscore the need to continue funding the AIDS Drug Assistance Program and for the state to expand Medicaid coverage. Joining us now to talk about that is Nick Carlisle with the Southern AIDS Coalition and Christina Adeleke with the North Carolina AIDS Action Network. Well, thank you both for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
First, let's talk about AIDS Advocacy Day, how that went and what the message you were delivering to lawmakers.
We brought a lot of our advocates from all over the state and even some from out of state to come in to the General Assembly here in Raleigh to discuss with lawmakers about issues that are relevant to people living with HIV and AIDS. And, you know, at this point in 2016, HIV and AIDS is a disease that you can live with. And it's not, you know, a death sentence like it's been depicted in the past. And, you know, a big part of that is having access to medication. Our big policy initiative was to help low-income people, help them provide, you know, themselves with medications and assist with their health insurance if they have. So with the ADAP program here in North Carolina, we were really prioritizing funding that. So when we talked to legislators, we definitely mentioned that and brought that up as our main priority.
And where are we with the AIDS Drug Assistance Program? Historically, North Carolina had been well behind the nation in eligibility and funding and made a lot of progress in recent years. Where are we now?
Funding is still good, and that's something that we wanted to thank lawmakers this past session. You know, there has been, you know, success in that area, and North Carolina has been good in taking care of the people that are living with HIV and AIDS in the state, and we just hope that they continue to make it a priority.
You mentioned that it's no longer a death sentence, thank goodness, but there's still people getting infected. A lot of the infections are still in southern states like North Carolina. So how do you balance the message of this is no longer a death sentence with this is still a very serious illness and we need to prevent it?
That's a great question. You know, we've made really remarkable progress in this disease. We have treatment advances, like Christina was saying, that has turned HIV from a fatal diagnosis to a chronic disease for many people living with HIV. The Affordable Care Act has expanded insurance and health care access to millions of Americans. And we have really sort of landmark research that has given us the tools to dramatically cut the rate of new infections. And that's all really exciting. And I think those of us who work in this field are really excited about that. The thing that we're concerned about, though, and as you allude to, you know, the rest of the country is experiencing this really remarkable progress, and the South is in danger of being left behind. And that's what we're most concerned about. And we still see the rate of new infections in the South persisting. In 2014, we had more new infections in the South than the rest of the country combined. So that's a concern for us. So it is a delicate balance between sort of the message of letting people know that this is a chronic disease and that we've made remarkable progress, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we've got so much work to do in the South.
The fact that it is treatable now, does that make the message of get tested easier to tell people in some ways?
It's a toss-up because ideally, you know, people would get tested, know their status, and act accordingly, take medication, get on with their life. But there is still, especially now, even in 2016, such a huge stigma that surrounds HIV and AIDS. And some people think either it won't be them, it won't happen to them, or they're scared to even find out. And when you're scared to find out and get tested, you may be positive, you may not be, and you're still engaging in normal activities, and that's how things spread. So it's kind of just a sticky pickle to be in, right?
I think stigma is the main issue. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think nationally, you see a move for people to get tested. And in the South, the stigma really is persistent, and people are scared to get tested.
There's a lot of messages about testing. How do you convince people that getting tested is so important?
I think we're really working to create an environment where people living with HIV feel safe and they feel like they have a community of other people that they can reach out to. And I think that goes a long way in the South. I think we have that. It's lacking here. You know, you have places in the Northeast and on the West Coast where living with HIV is no big deal. And there's a community that embraces you. And that's missing in the South.
Well, obviously, HIV is transmitted in several ways. One is intravenous drug use. For years, folks have thought a needle exchange or a clean needle exchange program would be one way to decrease the spread of HIV. Where are we, do you think, on a needle exchange program in North Carolina, and how important is that?
Actually, the Senate recently introduced a bill, Senate Bill 794, that would create a program here in North Carolina for that exact thing. As you know, I feel like that's been a common conversation around the country that, you know, opioid abuse is a thing and it's real and it's affecting communities, especially, you know, lower income communities. In that process, you know, people are contracting hepatitis C, HIV, and, you know, these are things that can be prevented. And I think this program would be amazing. It would be able to, you know, keep so many people safe, let alone, you know, people on the streets, law enforcement. And, you know, studies have shown that this kind of program not only helps reduce drug use, but it helps, you know, promote people to be able to get treatment and for them to stay in treatment. And they have a lot of success doing that. So it would be really great for North Carolina to have that kind of program, especially with us having two cities in the top 15 for HIV infections, for the highest HIV infections. That's in Guilford County, Greensboro area, and then in Charlotte.
And it's funny that we're having this conversation because just a few years ago, I think we would have sort of cringed. And we know we operate in conservative circles, and the idea of syringe exchange would have been a no-go.
Right.
And just recently, we had a dramatic outbreak in Indiana, and it really captured the nation's attention. And all of a sudden, you have lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, I think, really considering this as a viable option.
You mentioned the Affordable Care Act. How important is Medicaid expansion and just general healthcare services for people living with HIV?
I think Medicaid expansion is probably the single most important thing we can do to end the epidemic. Unfortunately, we're making little progress on that when it comes to our southern states. But I think many of us are optimistic. You know, we were heartened to see progress in Louisiana. I think that's the first deep south state to really sort of forge ahead. And I think many of us are looking at what happens there.
Why is it so important, expanding Medicaid, for people who don't understand how it works? Why is that such a crucial part of this fighting this epidemic?
Well, you know, say for our community, for example, HIV and AIDS community, people, you know, in North Carolina, there are about 7,000 people who are on Medicaid that are relying on Medicaid to pay for their medications. These medications are life-saving medications. And, you know, if people are having to either make a sacrifice and choose between paying their rent or paying their medication, that isn't, a situation that anyone should be in. And expanding, you know, Medicaid and closing the coverage gap will help a lot of people who are in that vulnerable middle spot where they're not able to be covered by Medicaid, but they don't make enough money to pay for health insurance. It'll literally be like a life-changing opportunity for people. And I feel like in North Carolina, if we were able to close the gap, we would be able to save at least 1,000 lives. Right. That's what stats are saying. So 1,000 people are definitely worth it, I think, in my opinion.
You know, and Christina mentioned that this is life-saving medication. It's not only life-saving, it's also prevention. So we know now that a person living with HIV who takes their medication and is adherent to their medication basically can't transmit the virus to others. So this is a major tool in ending the epidemic, is getting folks into care, making sure they have access to medication.
And I guess this is part of the strategy of helping folks. And is it true, I guess, that a lot of the infections are among low-income folks who maybe aren't as educated and haven't heard the message? I mean, is that all part of the campaign?
You know, people that are lower income would be more at risk, but it affects everyone. I just think about our advocates personally. It's a very diverse group. These are people who, you know, we work with in spaces and, you know, very professional spaces. So it's not even necessarily only lower income, but it's a mixture of people.
Finally, before we let you go, how optimistic are you that we're going to make some more progress? You mentioned needle exchange. We have an ADAP program that seems to be working. It seems the stigma, at least among lawmakers, might be diminished.
I think so, too. I mean, even with the syringe exchange bill in North Carolina, it was introduced by a Republican, which is, you know, so amazing to hear. But I definitely hope that North Carolina follows the trend nationally and expands access to medications, and hopefully, you know, PrEP access can be a thing that, you know, is expanded. But I think that's something that would be really great.
I think we're here. We're going to demand the progress, and we're going to stick with it. And hopefully we'll see progress in North Carolina, and y'all will blaze a trail for the rest of the South to follow.
Well, let's hope that happens sooner rather than later. Thanks for all you guys are doing, and we really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.